If you would please take out your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. We're going to be introducing tonight the series that I hope to be speaking on for 2017. And the topic I've chosen is probably the most vast topic in the universe, literally. But I hope that we can scratch the surface of this, because I believe this is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. The theme for 2017, at least our once a month lessons that I'll try to do, is knowing God. It's this, really the focus of everything that we're trying to do here is to come to know Him better. Jeremiah 9, chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 will be kind of a theme text for us. We're not going to do walking through a text like we did last year, but this will serve as kind of a base text for us. Thus says the Lord, put up Yahweh here up on the screen because His name is significant here. Thus says Yahweh, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares Yahweh. I'm going to put this up for just a second. Don't look too hard at this, because it's going to change a lot this year when you're talking about God. There's so many things to talk about, trying to narrow down. This hopefully will give you a taste of what we're going to look at this year. But tonight's lesson is really important, because we need to start off with the idea that God can be known. There's a lot of confusion about who God is, and some people get to the point where they just say, you know, you can't even really know who God is. And I want you to leave here tonight knowing you can know God. You really can. It's going to take some work, and it's going to take some time and some humility, but you can know who God is. How can I know God? When you talk with people out in the world, where do most people get their ideas about God? Because there may not be any other subject, but there's this many different ideas out there in the world. Where do people get their ideas about God? Maybe one of the main places people get their ideas about God is their family. And I want to say, both through the things that their family believes and teaches them, and through the example of their family. Our first concepts about God, really, I think, come from our parents and come from those who raise us, their character, the way that they deal with us. And as such, people are going to have a lot of different ideas about God, because there's a lot of different ideas about God here already. But just because it's the way that your family believes about God, does that make it true? Well, it can't be so, because there's so many different contradictory ideas about God that different families believe. So this is how we may first perceive about God, but this should not be the primary way that we decide what truth is about God. A lot of people get their ideas about God from their preacher and their church family's example. That they've grown up in a certain way of believing. They've heard certain lessons from someone who is supposed to know what they're talking about, and that's how they form their ideas about God, how they change their ideas about God. And a lot of people don't really fact-check the preacher from where the preacher's supposed to be getting his information. Now, of course, the irony of this is I'm a preacher up here telling you about this. But what does that mean about this whole series? I'm going to be trying to impart to you as best as I understand about the nature of God. And that doesn't make it so. You need to be going to the source and checking me on this so that we can together come to understand God in the way that He has explained Himself. And this one is really popular today. A lot of people get their ideas about God, of all places, from their own feelings. And I might add, from their own experiences as well. That maybe you grew up believing in God, but so many people somewhere along the way stopped believing that there is a God because of something that happened to them. Or because they hear something that God said in the Bible, and they just can't believe in a God who would say something like that, or whatever their perception of that is. And you know, you can do that, and you cannot believe in a God who would, and you know, you can make up a God who would do things exactly like you would. And there are so many people who've done that. But that God can't save you. That God won't save you in the end. Because you're going to give account to the real God. We're all going to give account to Him. And so we need to know who He is. No matter what our family has said, or however our family has been to us, no matter what our preacher is saying, or other human sources, and no matter what our feelings or experiences have told us, we need to know who God has said that He is. How can we know the truth about God? Please turn to Psalm 19, if you would. And in this psalm, I think it gives us two definite, maybe three, depending on how you look at this psalm, ways that we can come to know who God is and how He has spoken about Himself. Psalm 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. There is nothing hidden from its heat. So how can we know the truth about God? There are some very basic things that we can know about God by looking at what? And the things that He has made. And you know, one of the things that's really scary that's happening right now is there are a lot of very worldly smart people who I don't know if this is exactly their plan. I think in some cases it is, in some cases it isn't. That are trying to reframe everything about this creation to make it not look like it's designed. They're trying to re-explain everything in such a way that when you look at it and say, wow, like that had to be put there by... No. It wasn't put there. It wasn't designed that way. It just came to be that way. And there's some people saying, well, that doesn't really make a big deal, like how you think the world got... It makes a big deal, a big difference, how you think we got here. Those thoughts and those perspectives will shape the way that you live. And the way that you interact with other human beings, and if we're just animals, we're going to act a certain way. But if we're made in the very image of God, we have another way that we need to be living. But that's not the only way that God has revealed Himself. There's a lot of things we can know through the creation. But the very next part of Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And this is really the main point of how we can know God, is God has spoken to us in His Word. And I could go on and on about that, but just think about that for a while. The God who created the universe and everything in them has spoken to us in His Word. This book should be precious to us. And in the last section of the psalm, I'll add this point, you can debate me on this. But we need to learn about God through actually living out His will. It's not just in theory. We can read this book cover to cover. We can know all the stories and know all the facts and different things. But we need to come to know God by actually trusting Him and doing what He says. Verse 12, who can discern His errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19 really helpfully outlines for us how we can come to know the truth about God. So I want to encourage us tonight that you can know God. I want to look at just a couple passages in passing as we think about the reality of this point. In Acts 17, Paul came across a very confused bunch of people. When he comes into Athens, he sees that the city is full of idols and his spirit is provoked within him. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. And you think about this, there are these people who've gotten to the point where they've made this altar to the unknown God, in case we missed one. But do you see the confusion there? Here's the God that we can't know really who he is, but like, just in case, we're going to do some things that we hope will please him and kind of throw some stuff at him. But how many people view God that way? To the unknown God. Kind of, I'll do some good things, we'll show up at church, try to do some nice things for other people. Hopefully he's happy, you know, just kind of throw it out there. What did Paul do? He tried to reason with them. And look at what he says in the sermon a little bit. When you skip down into the sermon, it says in verse 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." And then down in verse 29, "Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man." The first thing that he tells these confused people is God is different than you think. You've made all these things that you think are like God because they're the best things you can come up with, but that's not how God is. And we need to remember that. Whatever, if we're just coming from our own thoughts, however you think God is, it's going to be different than that. But he gives them encouragement. Backing up to verse 26 and 27, it says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." And he quotes their own poets there. And down in verse 30 and 31, he says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." So Paul says, listen guys, God is different than you think he is, but you can know him. He's not far from each one of us, and some of you are groping around in the dark for anything you can find, but you can actually know him. And some of your own poets got some of it right. We are his children. Quotes their own poets to him. But he says, listen, you need to know about the one that he sent, and he brings them to Jesus. Because brethren, if we're going to know God, we have to know Jesus. His resurrection. That's where this all starts. So, that's kind of one end of the spectrum of people who despair and think, oh, there's no way I can know God. There's too many religions. Oh, it's just so confusing. No, God's going to be different than you think, but you can know him. In Job 42, we have kind of the other end of the spectrum. That here's a righteous man who has lived his life in service to God, rightfully so. And one of the things in the book of Job is that Job really thinks that he is right about God. And he's not. And look at what Job says at the end after the Lord speaks to him. Job 42, verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." As we come to know some things about God, things that are true, and as we come to serve God and do some things that he wants us to do, We need to hold our knowledge about God with a heavy dose of humility. God taught Job some things that he didn't know about his nature. We've got to be humble about our own understanding. As Job says, I was speaking about things that I did not understand. And as he says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Knowing God is not a point, but it's a process. And that's important for us to remember, is that we're coming to know him better. We're coming to know him better. We're learning more perfectly about his nature. You see that with the apostles as well. We'll see that as we go through other lessons this year. I'll just mention this passage briefly. In Jeremiah 31, you remember the passage about the new covenant? He says that they're not going to teach everyone his brother and everyone his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. If we're going to be new covenant people, we need to know the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, we'll just hit this very briefly. Paul talks about all that he gave up, but notice what he gave it up for in this passage. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. And he talks about all the things that he's willing to suffer, but you look down at verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Brethren, the knowledge of God is worth anything that we have to give up in order to really know him and really serve him. And finally, in John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, when Jesus has just given his very confusing, and I think intentionally confusing, speech about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, the apostles here are given a choice. You know, there's lots of people who hear Jesus speaking, and they thought they knew who Jesus was, and all of a sudden he's saying weird stuff they don't understand, and what do? They get confused and think, well, what I thought I knew about him, I don't know, and so I'm out of here. And brethren, there's going to be some times where some things happen, or we encounter some teaching, or we come to a place in our walk where what we thought we knew is challenged. And maybe it's shattered. And maybe we had some expectations that are just disappointed. And a lot of people walk away from God. But in our search to know him better, may we have the attitude that Peter has here. Verse 66 of John 6. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter didn't know everything about Jesus, and he was probably as surprised as anybody. But he knew some things. And as we come to know God, we need to cling humbly to the things that we know are true about God. He is good. He does love us. He will help us to know him. Even when we're learning other things about God, cling to the things that we know so we can know him more fully. Jeremiah 29:13, God said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Here's our application. Fervently desire to know God. Seek him with all your heart. Don't just let it be a passing thing. Read Scripture through the lens of knowing God more fully. I encourage you that, especially if you're doing the Bible reading plan with us this year, if you have your own Bible reading plan, read it and try to, in each reading, learn something new about who God is. Humbly cling to what you know and tell everyone who will listen. Thank you.